Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining me today is a compelling spiritual voice of our time, known for uncovering the mysteries that connect the ancient prophecy to the modern world. My guest is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's here to talk about his much anticipated new release, The Avatar, a powerful book that explores end time revelation like never before. Jonathan, thank you for joining me.
Oh, always a joy to be with you. It's a blessing, Tim.
Jonathan, I want to go back to our time together in Atlanta right before the election in 2024. It was a very sobering, kind of a stunning time together, a very significant time because we all know we were in the battle for the heart and soul of a nation. I had the opportunity to speak. I know you spoke, but I opened up with a statement saying, we're living in a season of darkness. Dr. Dobson had said to me, Tim, it's really a time of evil. And Jonathan, I went to you and said that Jonathan Kahn had said it's a time of shaking, that we had seen it in ancient times with a new manifestation, spiritual darkness, setting in motion the transformation of a society, destroying age-old standards of morality, values, perception, and faith. And you went on to describe it as like an unrelenting darkness that seeks to exist, grow, something that wants to have total dominion over language, perception. It wants culture to bow to its image. Jonathan, nothing could have been more truer words than that, because what a beatdown people of faith had experienced under the Biden-Harris administration, and the people were crying out for God to do something. Take us back into that moment in your heart and what was pouring out of you in those moments.
Yeah, this was a truly a critical moment, and if the election had gone the other way, it would have been an entirely different scenario where we would be dealing with right now. And this goes with the Avatar because we were really at a critical point, and this could have sealed America in apostasy and ultimately to judgment. So it was crucial. This was 8 days before the election, and you know, we spoke beforehand, and I felt that I needed to give a word toward that, you know, and you guys and you and Paula were gracious enough to give that to me, and I believe the Lord heard the prayers of His people there, and you know, and throughout the country, this was a reprieve. The fact that the election went with Donald Trump, we've had a reprieve and a total turnaround. I mean, our faith is in God, not in politics, but God uses politics. And this was a rollback. This was with a real biblical template behind it. So I believe without any question, this was the hand of God. And that was a critical moment.
Jonathan, as a part of our broadcast today, I think one of the things that's going to happen is this strong voice of God is not dead. God is alive. He's moving in our midst. Also, at the same time, the forces of evil continue to mount and to come against everything that smacks of righteousness and culture. You know, as believers, Jonathan, we hold to some pretty precious scriptures, but Psalm 91 has always been one of those precious passages that people go to, especially during times of trial and tribulation, maybe warfare or what have you. I think of Psalm 91, 11, and 12, where it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." We think about, my dad used to speak often of angels and how you never know when you're entertaining angels unaware. And the spiritual realm, the spirit life, become so important as we understand it. We also know the words of Paul in Ephesians 6:10 through 12, where he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, because you don't stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Stay anchored. Basically was what he was saying. Be strong, stand strong. Jonathan, in the midst of all this, God has been speaking to your heart. You've got a new book out, again, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. Jonathan, talk to us about this book. What is The Avatar going to reveal, and where are we going to go in our two-day journey together?
Yeah. The Avatar is probably, I mean, it's hard to say this, but it's probably the most explosive book I've written, because this is opening up the whole realm behind what we're seeing in America, not only culturally, but politically. You know, I wrote a book a little while back called The Return of the Gods, and the spirits and what we're dealing with, principalities, as you just said, specifically what we're dealing with. But now, even touching the political realm, everything from Donald Trump, Joe Biden, where we are, that there is a whole nother realm. You know, I spoke about when a nation turns away from God, that has known God, it creates a vacuum, and that vacuum doesn't stay, that house doesn't stay empty. Other gods come in, other principalities come in, and that's what we've been watching really the last 50 years in America and the West. It's a kind of repossession, a repaganization. And the thing is that at the same time, there is something called the avatars, where when you have gods, when you have these pagan societies, you have avatars where people become instruments of these things. And that's where we are now. We're actually seeing that, I mean, very dramatically. I mean, where even people on our national stage are linked to that as well. So this is kind of removing the veil and letting the chips fall where they may. And there are ancient mysteries from the Bible that give prototypes about exactly where we are, where you started the program, starting about that change, where we were on the edge and something happened. This really is rooted in the Bible. God does that, and he's doing it again. So where we are and where we're going, that's what ultimately the Avatar is going to reveal.
I want to quote a statement, Jonathan, that you position right up front. Is it possible that behind the central movements and issues of our time are entities of ancient origin, unseen agents behind the transformation of culture, indwelling movements, institutions, agendas, and even the people of our times? You know, I've had many conversations, Jonathan, where we say these words: we're living in modern biblical times. It's unbelievable. Seriously, you go back and read the Old Testament and you begin to see the journey of the scriptures and how the people of God moved in and toward and away from God and what happened and the spirit of darkness, if you will, that's so prevalent and powerful. Jonathan, I jumped into the Avatar. It's breathtaking. It's stunning. It really is. It's a shocking read. The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. This is in the moment. Jonathan, take us back to the personal journey. You open up talking about a journey into India and following in the footsteps of Thomas. Take us there.
Yeah. The Bible says that behind the gods, you know, that are worshipped, there's mythology, of course, it's all that, but behind it are actually entities. In the Hebrew, it's called shedim, which means spirits. And in the Greek, it became the word daimonia, which we get the word demonic from it. So behind that, there's a whole other realm. So I was asked to go to India, which is a land of 30 million gods, and walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Thomas, because the tradition the believers there have is that Thomas brought the gospel to them. So I'm a Jewish believer. They asked me to walk through it. It was the most dangerous journey I ever made, Tim, and I've made dangerous journeys, but I won't go into all how that was. Not only spiritually, but I mean, you know, in flesh and blood. But the thing is that, so where you have gods, you're going to have spirits. And one thing, and there's so much that we encounter there, it was, but one thing was that we're in the land of Madras, and it's at night, and there's thousands and thousands of Indian men and women dressed up, you know, the women in robes, and I was going to share the gospel, and before I shared the gospel, I was led to sound the trumpet, the biblical shofar, the ram's horn, which the Bible says. And the Bible says that when you're in warfare, sound it, the enemy will be defeated. It's not that has the power. God does, but it's a symbol of that. So I sounded it, and then we don't know what happened. All of a sudden, there's like a wave that came back at us. And the only way I can describe it is if you can imagine, or maybe you've actually witnessed, an exorcism, except it wasn't one person. It was a mass exorcism. And it was as if spirits were departed. And I'm reading this. And by the way, after that, when it kind of cleared the way, I gave a salvation message and a call. And we saw about 70,000 people pray to receive the Lord. And when I went home, I'm reading about the shofar. And in Jewish thought, from that scripture onward, they believe that when the shofar sounded, spirits have to depart. They actually use this in exorcism. But the people in India had no idea of that. You know, so there's a real spiritual realm here. It's not just, you know, mythology. There is a real spiritual realm. And this is ultimately, I saw this all around the world where they worship gods. And ultimately, this is linked to America and what's happening right now.
You also mentioned your journey into Cuba and Fidel Castro and more, and saw more of this manifestation, if you will. We're talking about light versus darkness stuff here. Jonathan, take us there, and also then into Brazil and what was happening there. This sets the backdrop of where we're going in our conversation today about the Avatar.
Yeah, I was asked to go to Cuba, you know, because Fidel Castro opened the island for 1 month, saying, you know, we'll have some freedom here. So I was asked to go by the believers of Cuba and sound the shofar and minister 1 month across the land. And I'm in this city called Holguín, and on top of Holguín is a mountain. And I was told that they worship the gods on the top of the mountain, and that I needed to go up. So I go up the mountain. I'm actually with a shofar. I go up there, and there's a pavilion where they have all the gods and the idols in there. And a man's in front of that, and he calls out to me as if he knows me. I didn't know him. He comes over to me, and he says, "I've been waiting for you." And he's holding in his hand a ceramic plate, and the ceramic plate has a picture of me. And it has a picture of me sounding the shofar. And he said that he's a believer. God told him to paint this picture and put it in the pavilion of the gods. So he did. And that night, something strange happened. The leather strap holding the plate breaks apart. The plate comes down, strikes the head of the chief god of Cuba, a goddess named Ochun, the idol, falls on the ground. The next morning, the worshipers open up the pavilion. They find their chief god on the floor with her crown removed. And next to it is this plate of this Jewish guy with a shofar. And the shofar struck the head just where the sound comes out of the shofar. And they took it as a sign from heaven. And what happened was the word came down to the city, and then people around all across the city started coming to churches, bringing their idols, telling the pastors, smash our idols. We heard what happened on the mountaintop, and revival was breaking out. So again, and you know, Tim, people read, you know, in the Bible, it talks about Dagon, you know, when the ark went to the temple of Dagon, and they found Dagon on the floor. And they'll say, oh, the people who aren't believers, that's just the Bible. This is real. God is real. It's still happening. And God has his way. So the spirits are real and God is real.
As you were talking, Jonathan, what popped in my mind was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Going back into the commandments from God. This is really about the war of the gods and the gospel, if you will. Isn't that what this is about?
The West, the culture we are born into, was originally worshiping these gods. And the thing is that the gospel came in, and the gospel drove out the gods, and that means the spirits. It was like a mass exorcism. And so that's what we basically enjoyed and been blessed with. But now what the warning is when, you know, if any nation or civilization that has been delivered of these things by God and the gospel, if it should ever turn away from the gospel, if it should ever empty God out of its culture, that then these things are coming back. You know, so these are very real. And you know what, I saw this in every nation, and Brazil and in Africa, but ultimately it is coming to us, and that's what we're dealing with.
Jonathan, we were at a place where, again, the people were crying out. I mean, you had people of faith who were being censored. You had weaponization of systems of government coming against people of faith in America. They were putting grandmas, 75-year-old grandmas in prison type things. It was shocking, coming against people who just wanted to celebrate who God was. Jonathan, I want to stay with this. How does this mystery then begin to manifest itself as it relates to America? And I know in the Avatar, you take some time and talk about the Olympics. I remember that whole thing blowing up when they had that Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper scene thing. It was so blasphemous, and it just blew up the internet. It was crazy.
It was. This was, it was probably the most massive act of blasphemy we've ever seen. It was before the entire world. And for those who didn't see it, and maybe you're blessed for not seeing it, it was basically the Last Supper. They tried to deny it, but it was the Last Supper. And they had drag queens dancing around the Last Supper and this whole thing. And instead of, the Last Supper is about the elements, ultimately the body of Messiah, the bread and the wine. But instead of that, they had a platter, a food platter. They uncovered that platter, and instead of Jesus was an ancient god, a pagan god replacing Jesus. So this was the god Dionysus. And Dionysus, the god of immorality and possession and all that. And the thing is it was a picture, Tim, of what we are doing in our culture. What we were doing is replacing Jesus, replacing God, and then these other spirits come in. Dionysus, ancient spirit. In the beginning of the age, the gospel drove out Dionysus. Jesus drove out Dionysus. Now it's reversing it. And the thing is that we have a warning on this because there was a German philosopher who was named Friedrich Nietzsche, who actually made the same replacement that we saw in the Olympics. He said, we got to get rid of Jesus. And he lifted up Dionysus. He actually was like a worshiper. But Dionysus drove his followers insane. Well, what happened to Nietzsche is that he went insane. And he started writing, he started signing his papers, his letters as Dionysus, like as if he had been taken over. And the thing is that his works, his writings were read by Adolf Hitler and by the Nazis. He became the philosopher of the Nazis, and look what that brought. So this is, because it's demonic. So this is telling you where this goes. So, but now with the Olympics, it wasn't one guy. It was a civilizational thing. So that's the danger we were in. We're still dealing with it. But when God did something, and that links to what happened.
It's stunning because we were all crying out about the deafening silence of American pulpits. America was, quote, emptying herself of God. In that journey away from God, Jonathan, you talk a lot about Baal and Molech and all that stuff, showing up and manifesting in ways like such as the sex-saturated insanity we were seeing on the internet, pornography, that explosion. You think about abortion, transgender ideology, all this stuff was manifesting. Take us there.
These are exactly what we would expect if we drive God out, give it time, because these are, when Israel turned away from God, there were, the principalities, what it worshiped were these particular ones. I call it the dark trinity. One was Baal. That's the one who drives God out of culture, that had known God. Then you have Ishtar, the goddess, or Ashtoreth in the Bible. This is the goddess of sexual immorality. So we have the sexual revolution, and particularly she says in her inscriptions, I am a man, I am a woman. The one who she actually merges male and female, had her priests were men who dressed in drag. They're actually involved surgical transition. So we have this and this whole thing happened, and what was happening to our children with the surgical mutilation, and the culture was all for it. And then, of course, you have Molech, the offering of children, this child sacrifice, and you've got abortion. And all these things, Tim, were coming to a head, just like it was with ancient Israel, that this was taking over our culture. It's taking over virtually every institution. I mean, even the medical establishment said, this is good, there's no male or female. Craziness. But this is what happens when the gods or principalities take over, and that is how dangerous, that was the moment we were at. I mean, it was a moment of seeking total takeover that culminated in that election.
I think America gasped for air in 2023 when the White House was shown in rainbow colors. It was shocking. Jonathan, for you, there's linkage here. This stuff keeps dialing back into kind of this ancient mystery work that you're seeing. And you were crying out in your heart, in your spirit, saying, listen, we've got to see this. This is critical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was, you know, and the people of God in the Bible cried out as well. And God did give relief or answer or a chance, a second chance for a nation. And that is where we were with that. I mean, again, if it had gone the other way, it would be we would be talking a whole different story right now. But there's a template in the Bible which actually it's when Israel had fallen away from God, and there are certain kings and queens who were ruling. And the amazing thing, Tim, is that each of them is a prototype for people who have been on the national stage right now, and in the last quarter century. It's amazing. They're following, without knowing it, they're following this template. And I don't know that we're going to have time for that, but just to say that each one, I mean, from Bill Clinton, there's an ancient template, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and it all leads up to, actually, the House of Ahab was reigning over the culture, and there was going to be no hope. If it kept going, it was going to be sealed. But then God raises up a man, unlikely man, raises him up to actually roll this back, and his name was Jehu. And Jehu is really the mystery prototype of Donald Trump. I mean, it's amazing. Jehu was, first of all, he wasn't a politician. He was a fighter. He fought with everybody. Okay, Donald Trump. He was unpredictable. He was impulsive. You never knew what he was going to do, you know, next. He launches Tim, when I originally wrote about this, I didn't even see this, but I saw this recently. You know how Donald Trump's, his campaign began? He was on the top of that staircase at Trump Tower. He descends that staircase, begins the race. He announces the race. Well, you know what? Jehu started on top of a staircase, literally, and then he came down and began a race. Jehu makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of his land. So does Donald Trump. Jehu has a agenda to go to the capital city and drain the swamp, Donald Trump.
It is unbelievable. Jonathan, there's so much here. We're fighting time today on of our two-part series. But hey, one of the most explosives relates to the God Kings and the Goddess Queens and so much more. But Jonathan, again, we're just touching on some of the mysteries revealed in the Avatar. This book is releasing right now. And Jonathan, The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America, just tease out a little bit about what people can expect from you in this book again and where they can get a copy of it.
Yeah, literally the Avatar is not only going to be the most explosive I've done, but it's going to pull away the veil behind everything. I mean, I believe once you see it, you're not going to unsee it. And everything from Biden to Trump to what's happening in America to where we are and what we need to do and where it's going, mysteries in the Bible. And so the Avatar is going to be everywhere, literally. I mean, you go online right now, you'll see it everywhere, Amazon and everywhere else. Walmart's going to have it. It's going to be everywhere. So I pray that people get it, not just for yourselves, but get it for people in their life who need to know, need to wake up, because we're at a critical moment.
We are. And, you know, Jonathan, you don't leave us without hope.
Yes.
You know, a God's on the throne type thing. You bet.
Oh, and yeah.
But the people of God have got to rise up for such a time as this. When the righteous step up and into the moment, God is exalted. And we're praying. By the way, we're seeing seeds of revival like never before. This is a critical moment in time. Again, the book coming out, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America, it's everywhere. Instant New York Times bestseller. It's going to probably be the number one book in the world, The Avatar. Jonathan, what a delight to have you. Can't wait for tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.